Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, Genesis chapter 6. One verse, the last verse of Genesis 6:22. Now walk with me for a while in the word. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. Let me talk to you for a moment about so did he.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we love you, and we know you this day, and I'm thankful, God, that you know us. And as we have just sung, God, I pray that your blessing would be upon us and that it would go before us, it would be beside us, behind us, that we would stand on this solid rock that you are, that your banner over us would be love. And I pray for every family in this church, every individual, every home, every life, God, that there would be a blessing. And God, that you would be glorified and that you would be exalted. And I thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you have brought us to this day yet again in this new year. And let it be, God, that the pattern of our life would be found in prayer, in worship, and dedication to you in all things, Lord. Be glorified. Anoint me and anoint this people, I pray. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Isak, we are praying for you and your family. Amen. In the passing of your mother. Our God is a great comforter. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you turn and be kind to three people? And would you let them know that you love them? And that you care about them and that you appreciate them in such a great way. Would you do that? Introduce yourself to someone you don't know. God bless our guest today. Thank you for being here. Welcome. Good to see our youth on the front row. I have heard great reports about Holiday Youth Convention. Amen. And I'm glad they are back and had a good time. And he isn't able to be here today, but Oliver Young received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll say more about it when he's here. But nonetheless, that's an exciting thing that was a product of that. With each steady swing of the axe, each stroke of the hammer, the felling of every tree, the placing a pitch in every joint. It all had a purpose for what was ahead. No doubt there may have been moments, even days and months, and without question years, that it did not make much sense to Noah. There had been no rain, no flood to know what a flood was, no scale to measure what to expect. He was living on a word, a voice, a mission from God, a command given, plans in place, an ark was to be built. But then, silence.
Right.
The word does not indicate that after the first directive from God that anything more was said till it was time to enter the ark in the first verse of Genesis chapter 7. Decades would pass. A judgment drew ever closer. Day after day after day, faithfully building for something that had yet to be, preparing something that had never been for something that had never been.
My God.
No matter how deafening the silence of God was, no matter how dry the conditions, still Noah built on. It can be in this journey from here to there, in this walk with God, that it feels so very often the same. Difficult days, one after the other, effort invested, prayers prayed, only to find another hill to climb tomorrow. Like a Noah, planks and pitch all being put together, dry days being marked off on the calendar, and still, no rain. We pray and we pray again. We place our petition before God and we bring it back again tomorrow, and still, no rain. Sometimes, the truth of the matter, I will stand here and tell you, sometimes it just does not make sense. We wonder, did we get it wrong? We wonder, are we wrong? Are we paying penance for some wrong that we have done? Is what we are doing, what we are living, what we are praying, does it make any difference? If you have not buried your head in your hands and asked that prayer or said those words in some capacity to God, or at least in your own mind, then probably there's a good chance that one day you may feel, in fact, that way. Until suddenly, a drop. And then more. The slight drizzle turns to a steady rain. And then suddenly, a deluge from above and below changes everything. And had it not been for the faithful follow through, a patient obedience of the praying through the dry days and seasons, all would have been lost. Are you understanding this? All the dry days, all the dry days that were endured, all the questions that gathered in the mind collectively as a family, had it not been for that first drop, wouldn't have made sense. We forget the importance in the practice of prayer because we're a creature that wants the product of answered prayer more than the practice of prayer. We want there to be the something produced by it, and that we're gratified immediately by it, and that's where we want to be. We want that. We knock and we want the door open now. We seek and we want it to be found now, and we ask and we want it to be answered now. We read the last verse of Genesis chapter 6 and forget that there are many days between it and the first verse of chapter 7. We think that somehow that from verse 22 of chapter 6 to verse 1 of chapter 7 that there was this immediate response of God. No, there was possibly 100 years or more that existed between that first word and that next word of God. We knock and we want it to be open now. And the spiritual attention span, hear me, the spiritual attention span of so many this day is stymied. It is not sustained when it is not quickly satisfied. Come on, walk with me. Go a little bit deeper here on this first Sunday of 2022. The spiritual attention span of so many this day is stymied. It is not sustained. The spiritual attention span is not sustained when it is not quickly satisfied. We treat it that way in church. I'm going to preach rather directly for a few moments, so I need you to walk with me. We treat it that way in church, but not only in church. We recognize that if the song doesn't click, or if things aren't happening the way it should be, and we don't feel it moving, or we don't get in the rhythm of it, then, well, God wasn't in it. No, we're not used to spiritually sustaining the moment to find the ultimate satisfaction that we're looking for. We want to be quickly gratified in it. And it doesn't just stop here on the pulpit or in the pew, but it leaches its way into the rest of our life. We're not spiritually attent, and we're often easily distracted. Many pray quick prayers and expect fast fixes with long-lasting results.
Wow.
When what is needed is the enduring, watching prayer that reveals what shallow prayers cannot see. And he cometh unto his disciples, look at this, and he findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? What? Understand the emphasis here of Christ. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? What? Recognize the impact and the weight of the spiritual moment that was at hand, sensing the moment in the time clock of God. What? Should it not be that the same emphasis, the same understanding is acutely aware within the church right now? What? Are we not sensing? Are we not seeing? Are we not perceiving? Is it not resonating deep within the heart of hearts of who we are? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Could it be that we suffer from a spiritual slumber that is keeping us from watching or seeing things in the spirit that God would have us to see? Could it be that we are slumbering, and by slumbering we cannot see in the spirit spiritual things that are at work and play right now?
Wow.
Revivals that need to be revealed, the miraculous that's meant to be works of God that are waiting for us to be awake spiritually to receive, but we cannot receive them, we cannot perceive them, they cannot happen because we sleep spiritually.
Wow.
We slumber because we're not sensing the moment, we're not sensing the time. We're not recognizing what's taking place in our families, in our homes, in our culture. We're not sensing spiritually because we're not spiritually awake. Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
I recognize this is a little bit uncomfortable for a moment, but walk with me. We're going to get there. A sleeping soul cannot see spiritual things at work. It doesn't sense what God wants and what God is doing. When my soul is sleeping, I cannot sense God. I cannot see him. It was not just about the 1 hour that we think Jesus was asking for, but it was about the ability and desire to simply watch. It was not about the time clock. We make it about the time clock, and thereby we isolate God's ability to speak to us and find the flow of the Holy Ghost that we need to be in, because we think it's just about measurement of time. And it was more than measurement of time. It was about the ability and the desire to watch. There is no one, hear me, everyone in the church, hear me right now. There is no one to take your watch. Father, mother, son, daughter, there is no one. There is no one to take your watch. You cannot delegate your watch to another. It cannot be handed off. It cannot be neglected. It cannot be ignored. No one. Everybody say me. Come on, that's not everybody. Everybody say me. No one can take my watch. Nobody can take your watch. Nobody can take your time to pray. Nobody can fill that gap. It was about spiritual vigilance, the vantage point that only prayer could bring. That's what he was asking for. He was asking them, could you not watch? Could you not have a vigil that looks beyond this moment? Could you not see something in the spirit that needs to be seen that cannot be seen any other way? Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you don't enter into the temptation. It keeps the door closed. Prayer keeps the temptation closed. You are those in this house and outside of this house that are struggling this day with temptations and things that are combating us and trying to prevent us. The only way that we can find salvation and security from that temptation is through prayer. It keeps the door closed. It allows you to see what is on the other side that could destroy you. Look at this, if you would, please. The practice of prayer is often the reward in itself, for the answer of prayer is what is produced in us. What it produces in us with each swing of the axe. Hear this. Noah grew a little stronger. When a log was pulled to its place, he learned the next time how to do it better. You may feel like your prayers are doing little good, making even less impact, but sometimes it is not about the thing that you are praying for, but what the prayer is producing in you. My habit, my practice of prayer, your practice of prayer, it is often more about what it's producing in me than what the product might be in front of me. Yes. Be thankful. Somebody hear me right now. Be thankful for the prayers that were not answered in the way that you thought they should be. For had they been, you might find yourself in a famine, because continual sunshine creates a famine. Sometimes God's no is his great gift to each of us. If every prayer that I prayed was answered in the way that I wanted it to be, then it would be continual sunshine. I need a storm every now and then. I need a rain every now and then. I need opposition every now and then that makes something grow in my life. Amen. That I can live on, not just today, but in the future, because that is the product of prayer.
Yes.
Amen. Look at this, if you would, please. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. To this end, what? We got to get someplace with it. To this end, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He was implying that there was the need to press on and to press through, that the practice was just as important as the petition. That even in the effort, there was the reward. It would be safe to say today, and without question, evident in our day, that if we are to endure, not faint, then we are going to have to pray. I know, I recognize that's not fancy. I recognize that prayer just isn't, it's not popular. It's not fancy, but it is necessary. It is literally the lifeline of the church. And it must be that we are acutely aware that if we are going to endure in this day, if we are going to be able to stand and having done all to stand, then we are going to have to learn to continually pray.
Amen.
To faint is to lose consciousness. I need everybody to hear this. To faint is to lose consciousness. If we are not praying, we are not spiritually conscious. We are not sensing things correctly. I'm speaking to every saint in this church that has been at this for some time. We cannot become comfortable on the pew and in the church because we are used to having church and we are used to being Pentecostal and we are used to having it our way. It must be that the church becomes uncomfortable. I really believe that some of what we have been going through and what we are going through right now is God's way of getting our attention in some aspects so that the church comes back to a place of dependence upon God and in God. That we learn that we must pray. Things are missed and moments that matter for the present and the eternal are neglected if we are spiritually unconscious. If we are fainting, we will faint in the way if we do not pray. Father, mother, young person in this place, whoever you might be, every one of us need to pray. And it can't be just the tabletop prayers that we pray at a dinner table. Those are good, those are fine, those are necessary. But it should be that you, when you awake in the morning time, amen, that you find some place in your house, that be it at the table with your spouse or with your kids before they walk out the door to go to school, that you take a hand and hold it tight and you pray with them. Or it might be before you go to bed at night or in the middle of the day somewhere. It must be that your house is baptized. It is bathed. It is saturated. Your life and your mind is put in a place to pray. Come on, someone, hear this right now. It's not easy, and it can't be casual. It cannot be that just somehow we can glide through life and think that God's just going to bless us and give us salvation because, after all, we're good, moral people. No. Can I tell you, if I'm going to have a relationship with God, if I am going to be saved, if you are going to be saved, you've got to pray. You say, well, I repented of my sins long ago and I was baptized in Jesus' name and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, I believe today that if you want to remain saved, you need to pray. Yes. Come on, somebody. Hear this word for a moment. And when he had taken the book, Revelation, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Golden vials, or better translated, better said, the word defined it as bowls. Bowls of odors were described by John. And in these bowls were odors, or the incense, were which were the prayers of the saints. Which were the prayers of the saints. Prayers prayed, prayers possibly answered in the way that they wanted or possibly in ways that they would have preferred not. But that is not what mattered. What mattered was the fact that they were filled with prayers. Someone, hear me, someone did not faint. Someone did not faint. Someone was spiritually conscious. Someone in a closet somewhere did not faint. Someone in an altar did not give up. Someone in a church didn't walk away. Someone did not stop and find someplace else. Someone prayed. How full is your bowl? I'm asking you, how full is your bowl? I'm talking to everyone in this house. How full is your bowl? If our spiritual life depended on it, which it does, how full is your bowl this day? If God called you home, if this was the last day of breath on this earth, if the rapture would happen before we leave this house, how full is your bowl? If when you walk to that gate, is it empty or is it overflowing? How full is your bowl? How much have you prayed? How much have we prayed for people that we love, people that we care about for our own life? How much have we prayed? How full is your bowl? If our family's salvation, mothers, fathers, hear me. If our family's salvation hinged on what we put into that vial, to that bowl, where would they be right now? Where will they be come that day? If a lost soul being saved was entrusted for our bowl being poured out on them, could they trust us to fill it to the full so that they could be saved? How full? How full is your bowl? If the miracle was waiting on what our prayer could produce, would the miracle ever happen? If the revival was waiting on what you and I put into that vial, into that bowl in heaven, Would revival ever happen in Bloomington, Indiana? Would that lost soul that you encounter at work, or maybe at the counter when you walk through that grocery store, at that place that you frequent when you go out to eat, would they ever have the hope of salvation if they depended on our bowl to be filled for them by our prayer? I recognize we all pray. I recognize we breathe prayers and we find it easy to work and go on and do our daily business and to breathe them out with little to no conviction. But I'm asking, I'm petitioning, I'm preaching. If I could even say it so, I am begging to stay for this church to be a church of prayer. I know churches are often pigeonholed to be said they're this type of church, the left or the right, or they believe this or they don't believe that. I really don't care about any of that right now. But what I would like to see is that for our church to be known as a church that prayed. People that knew how to bring heaven to earth. People that walked in and before church at 9:30 prayer, they didn't talk about who was in the playoffs or who won that day or cared about what's going to happen this next week on IU's basketball court. But when they walked in the doors, when they walked in the sanctuary, something overwhelmed them and they just couldn't help it. They just had to pray. That when the worship would begin, they wouldn't just read the words, but they would pray the words. They would sing the words. That when the altar was open, that they wouldn't hesitate and wonder if they should or if they shouldn't go, but they'd be the first step out in the aisle and they'd walk and they'd pray. That men in our church, amen, that first of all, men would lift up holy hands. That you and I, gentlemen, would be the first responders in this spiritual warfare and the chaotic life that's around us, that you and I, this Tuesday night, that something would be felt, Lord willing, on Wednesday night and Sunday of next week that was ushered in because we decided that it was worth it that we would fill a bowl with prayer.
Yes.
God help us to be praying people. That mothers and children, when you walk in the home, that you would set the attitude and the atmosphere of your lives and what goes on, and that you turn the things off that shouldn't be on, and that you'd listen to the things that should be listened to, and the conversations would be conducive to spiritual growth, and there'd be a change that when everybody would walk in at the end of the day after a day at school or work, and it would be palpable that you could almost taste it in the air because there was an odor of the ointment of prayer that had been filled up. God help us this day. Something is waiting on us to pray. While we can live, everybody hear me right now. Everybody that's been in this more than a day, hear me. We can live on the residue of prayers prayed in the past, but we can only live on that for so long. God in his goodness and his grace, and I have said it before from this pulpit, that I have walked to this pulpit many times busied in my own life, and I have called on prayers of the past that I have prayed, asking God to pour out that vial on me so that I could feel the anointing yet again. But can I tell you, that can only go so far. I can only live on prayers prayed in the past so long. At some point, sir, you're going to have to pray again. At some point, ma'am, you're going to have to pray again. At some point, you're going to have to realize that you can't just keep pouring it out and put nothing back into it. If you want to be anointed, then you're going to have to pray the anointing down. Young people, you're hearing me right now. You want to be used of God, you're going to have to pray. You're not going to find it any other way. Brother Hughes, it's the way I grew up. It's what I live on. We have to pray. Amen. Young man, young woman, your salvation. I am telling you today, your salvation depends on you praying. Young couple in this church, your marriage depends on you praying. The salvation of your children depend on you praying. Not just praying for what you want, but for what you cannot live without. Because there is a difference. Saints of God, hear me. We didn't arrive at this place by good works or because we deserve it. We are here because someone prayed, and now we must carry that on. I am the product of prayers that have been prayed in the past. Are you hearing me right now? I am the product of prayers that have been prayed in the past. Somebody somewhere along the way, some elder saint, amen, they prayed for me. They filled a bowl in heaven and it's still being poured out on me. I stand here today not because of goodness or morality. I stand here because somebody prayed me into the church. Some old lady, she got me down at that altar and she pushed on my back until I prayed through. She kept praying until I spoke in tongues. Are you hearing me right now? Some man in that church at 11th Street, he pulled me to the side and he taught me about baptism in the name of Jesus and he prayed for me. I am the product of a prayer that has been prayed and poured out on my life. And I'm asking you, how full is your bowl today? We can have all the distractions in our life that we want. We can have every occupation. We can have every habit and every haunt in our life. We can have hobbies that keep us occupied from sunup to sundown. But we are no good unless we have prayed. Amen. The first footfalls of this year should be a renewed commitment to a life of prayer. I don't know what you celebrated. I celebrated the other night at midnight. I don't know what you decided it was going to be this coming year, but I determined in my mind before the clock ever struck 12 that I was going to put my life in a place of prayer. Not because I just think it's fashionable, but because I know and recognize I just can't live without it. Let the call be given again today. Pray. Your salvation depends on it. How full is your bowl in heaven this day? If it's not, you need to begin to fill it right now. There's still time. You're in this place. You're going to hear about this the rest of this month. I'll probably say some of these things again for the people that are unable to be here today because of sickness. Because I don't want it to be just a few, but God will move for just a few. All it takes is one or two that can turn the world upside down. Come on, I'm almost done. I'm asking you here in the next few moments, the musicians are coming now. I'm asking you to bring those prayers, those petitions that you've wrote on those pieces of paper to this altar and to place them in these bowls. We're committing as a church that we will pray, that we will be the church, that we will bear one another's burdens, that the thing that you wrote down is a prayer that holds a promise. It's an answer that God is going to give you. It's not empty. When people pray throughout this month and they fill these bowls and they put these prayers into practice and they speak them out loud, can I tell you, we're going to see a move of the miraculous. I believe this is a year for the miraculous to happen in this church. Yes. Signs, miracles, and wonders and healings, prayers that we have prayed for so long, I am standing. I recognize what I'm saying right now. I need somebody to agree with me. I am standing and I am proclaiming in the name of Jesus, but by the authority of his word, by the authority of his blood, and by the authority of his name, we are going to see a move of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see a happening in the spirit that we have not fathomed because we prayed. Amen. Come on, someone, right now as we stand to our feet, pray. As we begin to pray and they begin to sing, amen. As we begin to bring these petitions, these needs, these prayers that we're going to pray this next month, amen. I believe God's going to move. Come on, I need some people praying right now. Some people gracing this altar and bringing your life and your family and your home and bringing those needs and who you are and what you know and what must be and what you want the will of God to be. Come on, bring it right now and begin to pray it in the name of Jesus. As we stand all over this house and we bring these needs and we begin to claim them in Jesus' name, God, I pray over every family. I pray over every home. I pray over every individual, every life, God. And I pray, God, that there would be an unsettling in our life that would cause us to bring who we are and what we are to a place of prayer. That God, that the practice of prayer would produce something greater than the product of the prayer even. Lord, that we would believe and we would see the divine and the miraculous take place. And Lord, that you would be glorified in it and through it and because of it, God. Even God, in the difficulties that we face, in the things that we're feeling. God, in the frustrations that we have, the worries and the fears. God, as we write them down, we're releasing it to you and we're giving it to you, God, the God that is greater, the one that knows better than we know, the one that's able to do what we cannot do, the one that can reach to where we cannot reach. You, Jesus, we're calling on your name today. We're not praying in our name. We're not praying in a Pentecost. We're not praying about an apostolic name. We're praying in Jesus' name. We're praying in the name that's above everything that's named, the authority, the power, the strength through the name, through the blood, through the word. Oh God, I pray it right now. I pray that the burden of prayer would overwhelm us, the hunger for prayer would overwhelm us, the desire to pray, God, would overwhelm us, Lord. Come on, you need to make your way to this altar. You need to find it to be a familiar place in your life. Amen. Amen. Let it be that this is the place you bring your family, you bring your marriage, you bring your home. Come on, if you're gonna be saved, you gotta pray. Oh, God, come on. Everybody has needs. Everybody has a petition.